Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey everybody, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paik.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the Netflix show Sweet Tooth.
This week we are covering Season 2, Episode 3 of Sweet Tooth, titled Chicken or Egg.
Not chick or egg. Chicken or egg.
As Rima's version of the saying goes. No.
Gosh. You know, that was a very long day. If I didn't say it enough.
I get it.
Yeah, between like misnaming things on while we were recording to publishing the incorrect episode after we recorded last week. It's like, what the hell? Anyway, I thought this was a really great episode this week. What did you think?
Yeah, same. I really enjoyed it. I'm still like itching for a lot of these pieces to come together, and I'm sure they will. We're getting there. There was some really, really good stuff in this one for sure. I think it was, they upped the ante on certain things. Things are like very serious or like, you know, like you can see some major issues coming to a head. But then, you know, it was a little dark in some places, not necessarily visually, but like thematically. Mm-hmm. But then also we got some of the like lighter moments that I kind of miss. So that was really nice too.
I agree. It was an interesting episode seeing where we're going and what we're learning. We got some nuggets of information this week, not answers to everything, but you know, glimpses. So that was cool. We got to visit some new places, and that's cool. And I know we're going to talk about all of that, but I liked this week's episode, and I agree. You can see things definitely moving forward, you know, and you can see how everything's going to start hopefully coming together, and maybe even getting some of our people back together again. You know, I think we talked last week. It's so hard to see everyone apart. You know, you just want everyone to kind of be together and in their group, and you know, you feel like they're safe that way and being together. And stinks having everyone so far apart from each other, but you know, maybe that will change coming soon. So,
hope so.
Yeah, I liked it. All right. Well, do you want to kick us off tonight with your first point?
All right. Let's see. I wasn't sure I was going to have this as a point, but then kind of last second, I was like, I think I started with this last week. So we'll pick back up on Ronnie.
All right. Go with your gut. Yeah.
There's some updates with her. And as I thought, I mean, it's not like full blown, but you know, after the things that we saw her deal with and experience last week's episode, that, yeah, we're seeing a little bit more of that, and she's exploring that, this, you know, these realizations of what the hybrids are and her own personal, like, feelings about that. And before that, even, she's having this kind of moment with Addie where she's just like, she doesn't want him to go to Fort Smith when he drops that, like, that's where I'm headed. She's like, you're going where? You know, she doesn't want him to go for the possible danger involved, but also like she is watching him just run himself ragged. Mm-hmm. Almost just, I mean, how is he functioning at this point? Like, he hasn't slept. He's just like constantly going and going and going. And I mean, there's reason for that. He's devoted out of fear for him and Ronnie's lives under Abbott, but also, and I love the way, I don't have the actor's name jotted down, like memorized and jotted down. I wish I did. To go back and get that. But I loved the way he delivered this line where his voice wavers a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really great delivery where he goes, you know, he's trying to find this answer fast so he can protect the hybrids. So he says, "I won't need to pull another one from the kennels." The way he delivered that line, I was just like, okay. Yeah, like you can see it's weighing on him, but
right.
It's still that struggle because, you know, Ronnie kind of mentions this realization she's having about the hybrids to him, that they are capable of human emotions and feelings, and she's worrying about the karma of the, you know, on themselves for what they've been doing. And she even says, you know, like, how many lives for mine? And, you know, he has that, well, they have scales and tails. They aren't like us. And I was like, I don't think he really believes that, but he's lying to himself here just to keep doing what he has to do. But he's desperately searching for a better alternative. So when he takes off, so then we see kind of Ronnie. We don't get as much with her this episode, but we see her, like I said, exploring it a little bit. Johnny does decide to grant her request and goes to visit the hybrids, which is a big step in that growth and change that I think she's going towards. You know, when she goes in, she says, "I hear some of you can indeed talk," and I like her line. She says, "And if it, you know, is it true? And if it is, and you're hiding it, then you're smarter than I thought." She calls out to Wendy and connects with her, recognizes her from the drawing in the room, and so has this little moment with her. But also, you know, it's this kind of emotional connection and really getting to see, like, look into her eyes and be like, how human is this child? And, like, really realizing that. Mm-hmm. But then it was also her nice way of sneaking her, you know, some carrots as a gift to exchange also. Which was nice. And then we have, I still don't know the guy's name. I don't think I really care, but Officer Dickweed back there, who's just been, you know, tormenting these poor hybrids this whole season, like, cuts it off when he's yelling, like, enough. And I was like, excuse me, but what authority does this asshole have? Right? Like,
no kidding.
Shouldn't it be Johnny's place to say whether that's enough or not? But, like, this guy's like, no more. And he's like, I guess we gotta go. I was like, come on, Johnny. Toughen up. Let her stay as long as she wants. But yeah, hopefully that interaction between Ronnie and Wendy is a start of a very important alliance, and maybe something we'll see come to play later on. And then, yeah, small little note, she finally got her Scrabble fix. She's been dying for someone to play in Scrabble. She wanted to kick Addie's ass in Scrabble, as she said, but she's got to deal with playing with Johnny, which, you know, whoa, he's playing Lug, pulling out the big guns, you know. Watch out.
I can't throw any shade at him for his Scrabble play. I am not a great Scrabble player by any means, so won't hear anything come from me, but I feel you. Yeah.
Yeah, but she has Doom in reserve, whatever that could be meaning. They're kind of foreshadowing a little something, whether it's just the show giving a little wink at us, or if it's like her kind of, you know, thinking of something herself. I don't know, but I'm curious.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting note there. Yeah, I agree with what you were saying. That delivery of that line from Addie was, you can really see how it's weighing on him. And I think especially as he's gotten to know Gus a little bit more and, mm-hmm. you know, had a bit of a connection with him, not always super friendly, but still like trying to connect in a way and getting to know him, you know, he definitely got to be feeling it. And I felt when he was telling Ronnie, you know, hey, they have scales and tails, you know, I wondered if that was maybe, yes, for some of his benefit, but also for hers. Because if she believes that these kids have feelings, they have thoughts, you know, they can feel pain, they can experience things, they have human emotions, they might be hybrids, but they can, you know, they can experience very human things, then she's going to be like, don't do it anymore. Don't sacrifice any more hybrid kids for me, you know? And so I wonder if it's him like just promoting that propaganda that's been put out there that hybrids are wild animals. They can't speak. They're, there's no thought, you know, given to them at all. So I wonder if he's doing it for her too, because he mm-hmm. I think doesn't want to think about her ever saying like, don't, or stop what you're doing, you know, sacrificing them for me. There was a lot of conversation in this episode for like destiny and karma. I loved mm-hmm. all of that was coming up. And you can see that like Addie's kind of finding his way, what he feels like his purpose. He really seemed reinvigorated and, yeah. you know, renewed with this new information that he's been given. And Ronnie even seemed to a degree kind of revived meeting those kids. I don't know what it's going to mean moving forward, but it seems like, you know, she was really, like you said, trying to connect. And I thought yeah. that was a really sweet moment, you know, when she identified Wendy from that picture that she found and gave them vegetables. Had to be way better. I very much dislike vegetables, but if it's that or dog food, I'm going to eat the vegetables. So I thought that was a really sweet gesture on her part. And yeah, I hope she helps them find a way out. I hope they escape. We didn't get that far yet. I really hope those kids get out, and I hope she's plays a part in getting them there. So
yeah,
I agree. She was one of my notes too. So that's just ties right in. Well, I think I'll start. I don't really have anything in order. They're all just kind of all over the place. But I wanted to just talk about Bear for a minute. Right, and yeah. So we got a little bit more of information about the people that she's traveling with and have met up. And we get to meet Opa and Ona. They're so delightful.
Yes.
Just the sweetest elderly married couple. And wow, I don't know. I mean, it's unfortunate that in this series so far, we haven't seen a really a whole lot of old people. Like,
yeah,
they've been through it, right? Like they've not only survived like the sick in the last 10 years, and they know and understand what life's like they have a whole lot of history, you know, that they can share with, you know, these young folks who are, you know, I feel like we see a lot of young people, but not a whole lot of like older people. So it was really fun and interesting to get to know them and hear their story, and so sad to hear them when they're talking about like the children that they had, and the grandchildren that they had, and all of them had passed except for Logan. So Jordan, why was I saying Logan? Don't know where that came from. So I loved getting to know them, but then also getting to know Jordan and learning who his dad was. Now, we didn't get a name, but Bear kind of has to reconcile a little bit of her past and what she's done, hearing him talk about who his dad was and that he was killed by someone, or, you know, killed by the animal army, which she was in charge of.
Right. So, I mean, there's no way of knowing for sure, but she's thinking like, I very well could have been the one that killed your dad. I wouldn't even know. And then so when he follows it up with like, it's not your fault. And she's like, well,
I know that look on her face. Kind of like,
maybe.
Yeah, probably was my fault because that's what we did. And yeah, she was in charge of them. Even if it wasn't her directly, indirectly, she would still be responsible. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see how she's kind of, you know, kind of forced in a way to kind of reckon with some of her past actions. I know we've talked about it before because we're in this post-apocalyptic, you know, world, and there's a sickness, you know, that's like wiped out a lot of humanity. And again, I feel like there's just a lot of real world, you know, uneasiness that kind of floods into this narrative a little bit. But I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens for them next. I won't go too far into like where we were at the end, but I loved kind of getting to see a little bit more of the country where they're at. You know, they film in New Zealand, which I apparently forgot for quite a while until Anwen reminded us that mm-hmm. they filmed there, and how beautiful it is. and getting to meet some of the people out there, because I'm always like, well, who, you know, I feel like we don't see who's out there, you know, and what people are doing and how people are surviving and what it's like. So it was interesting to kind of get a little bit more of a clear picture into this group of folks that Bear has gotten herself aligned with. Do you have any thoughts on that or anything you want to share?
Yeah, well, Bear is actually one of my points as well.
Go for it.
So, yeah, so if you've got all your notes about that.
Yep, yeah, for now.
Yeah, just to talk about, yeah, Becky slash Bear. Calling her Bear a little more this one, even though she's kind of hiding that from Jordan, again, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. But it's just because a little note about that's about her, but more like, you know, Gus. I liked early in the episode where Gus is, you know, sharing the epic tale of Bear, this wonderful and powerful hero that I love how much he admires her. And I really hope, again, like we've said, that they can be reunited soon. It'll be nice to see. But, and then how much she's like really trying to figure out how to get back to him. And so, yeah, so she's talking to Jordan, which it's good that she kept that history vague. You know, I had a group of friends and we fell out, so I left.
That's a very broad generalization of what happened in season one.
Which, I mean, it's good. Yeah, she didn't mention, yeah, so I was part of this animal army, and then, oh, what happened? Oh, oops. Yeah, so good that she didn't mention that right off the top. And then also, she says, and then I met up with some other friends, and the fact that she refers to Jep and Gus as a man and his son,
I know.
I don't know if I can handle the level of adorable that is.
I know, same. Loved it.
Yeah, and as they're walking along, yeah, the train goes by and drops off these, like, packages, so we're seeing Abbott's recruitment and propaganda is working. You know, Jordan and some of the other travelers are planning on enlisting as last men for supplies and protection, which Becky shares her dislike of last men tactics, but she's not, like, super strong about it. She's just kind of like, are you sure? Because they do this stuff, and are you okay with doing that stuff? Like, she doesn't hide the fact that she isn't a big fan of the last men, and then that she, you know, doesn't hate hybrids. Like, she's very open about that kind of those parts of her. But she kind of gets to know, it's like, I like that she doesn't react super poorly. It's like, you last man, and you were like, you know, your father was a last man, and you want to be one? How dare you, you know?
Yeah.
That she was very calm and nice about everything. And just, I guess, seeing what she could learn and glean from it. And I think she does have some sort of connection with Jordan. I don't know if it goes very far past just kind of acquaintances and friends, and I don't know if it will go any further, and I don't care whether it does either or not. It's fine, you know?
Yeah.
But they have some interesting conversations. I do like, you know, while they're down at the river and Jordan's saying, you know, we're the last human generation. There's no more humans after us. But Becky says that, no, the hybrids are the next generation. They are a continuation of us. And it's like the difference of ideals and kind of opinions and mindsets on those things is really interesting. Yeah, so they get headed towards where they were going, and Becky finds out through Jordan's they're headed to XX, which we know is where this zoo is, and then he even mentions the zoo and their hybrid containment and things like that, and she's realizing what's going on. She knows Gus was taken. Well, that's where he's going to be. So she's off to save them, even to the point where when they're not letting civilians in, all this talk that she's done leading up to this, and now she's like, oh, I'll enlist too. Because whatever she needs to do to be able to get in and have access to Gus, she will. And so there's that, you know, so I think hopefully we will get that reunion very soon, because we know they are pretty, she's close by, she's there, and she may infiltrate her way into the zoo base there a little bit. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Me too. Yeah, that was great. I thought if anyone's going to be able to, you know, help get Gus out, it's going to be Bear. And, you know, maybe if her and Ronnie find a way to connect and they can work together and kind of come up with a plan and get him out. I'm really excited. I love that she didn't even think about it. You know, she's like, well, I'll just enlist too. And at first I was thinking, oh my gosh, do you even know what you're getting yourself into? But I'm excited to see that. And I agree with you. I'm glad that she didn't you know, have a lot of judgment towards Jordan and his decision to enlist. And he's like, look, I'm not for or against anyone. I'm trying to make it better for, you know, his grandparents. You know, that's who he's looking out for. And he's not wrong. You know, the last men have resources and supplies and kind of gives you a certain place within whatever society and structure that exists in this world, that it gives you a means to help the ones that you love. You have access to things. You know, you could see how excited they were just to get, you know, those bundles of supplies, you know, that came off that train, and how scarce things are. So, you know, but it was interesting. I liked their conversations when she's like, you know, they, you know, the last men do all of these bad things and they kill hybrids. And he's like, well, you know, not all of them. My dad didn't, you know. So it, you know, it was interesting to see how she was also maybe trying to kind of, you know, convince him maybe that all hybrids aren't bad. You know, when she's yeah. like, you know, we're not the last generation. The hybrids are next, you know, like there's life, you know. Mm. So I liked that. Exciting to see what happens next. Let's talk about Gus and Addie going to Fort Smith.
Yeah.
That I thought was really cool. Getting to see like where things started, and talk about so much that happened there in this episode, and like this range of emotions and things that happened, and this like flood of, I think, information that came from there. But when they get there, what was interesting, and I want to focus mostly on Peter, I guess.
Peter.
I feel like there's going to be a lot to talk about at the lab. So let's.
It's one of my points, and like by far the biggest point. Like I've got.
Yeah.
I could have broke this into like two or three points, but it's all just one thing. So I was like, I'll save it till the end or for now, because you're going to bring it up. So say what you got to say, and then whatever, I'll back clean up.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just have more of a back and forth here or something on it. I don't know, because there's so much that happens here. And like I said, it wasn't even in any particular order, and it might be my biggest point, but it's not my last or anything. So I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place tonight, but it's like, you know, I'm excited to kind of talk about it. So I guess that's why I'm jumping in. But I'll start with Peter and. I feel like we've had conversations before about like the costumes and things that they have for the kids, and that was hard. It was the whole suit and effects and all of the things. I'll just, because I feel like we have to talk about it. I don't think was great. It was not great.
Right.
However,
it's a little awkward looking.
It was a little awkward looking. So I feel like we have to at least acknowledge that and talk about it. But I'm not gonna let it like take away from this character and what I feel he's experienced, because I feel like, or as far as we know, at least so far, he's been in this lab and Fort Smith there by himself for like this entire time. I'm guessing anyway. We don't know that for sure as fact, but I'm assuming he's been there like the entire time hiding out and been all alone. So he doesn't know how to interact with people. He's probably very, very scared, which I think is evident as to, you know, when he's attacking, you know, the last men. And I think that's just all that he knows how to do to like protect himself. Of course he's scared. But to see that moment with him and Gus kind of connect, I mean, the talking thing, it was weird. Because I'm like, he's not, like, he doesn't have lips and didn't move his tongue. But whatever. Like I said, I'm going to acknowledge it, but I'm not going to, like, harp on it or anything like that. It was bizarre. But seeing that moment of connection, you know, between these two hybrid kids was so sweet. And to see how vehemently Gus protected him, like when they were, when the last men, the rest of them had come up and started to chase him, and he was trying to protect him. And even there at the end, like, I gasped, like, I was freaked out whenever they shot Peter. And even knowing that it was like a Trank gun, it broke my damn heart. I think I cried a little bit. And I don't know, it's because I love crocodiles and I keep seeing like this like humanoid looking crocodile. Something, I don't know. I do. I love crocodiles. It broke my heart. And at the end when, you know, Gus told Addie, he's like, if you hurt Peter, I'm not helping you anymore, which great moment for Gus. I mean, you've talked a couple of times about his maturity and growth, you know, this season, you know, that I think was another demonstration of that. But to see, you know, how he's really trying to protect his fellow hybrids, you know, and how far he's willing to go, you know, was and just beautiful.
That delivery too was, I mean, Christian Convery, but like you look in his face and you're like, oh, he means it. Like there would be no talking him back into anything. He's like, this is what we've, you know, made. Cause it came right off of Addie being, you know, saying, thank you, Gus, you helped me a great deal. And he's like, cool. But I'm not going to help you anymore if you don't keep your part of the, you know, your part of the deal here. Which I like Addie's response is, a deal's a deal. So we'll see. We know Addie really doesn't want to hurt the hybrids if he can help it. So he'll do his best. But yeah, I think Gus is showing that he's very serious. It means business. It's like, you will not get anything out of me, no matter what that means, if you don't keep that part of the bargain.
Right. I love that. You are 100% spot on. His delivery was perfect, and I believed him completely. So that's the first part that I'm going to talk about, but I'm not going to monopolize the entire conversation about the lab, because I know that you're going to have some stuff too, but I wanted to start there because I loved getting to be introduced to new hybrids that we haven't seen before. And seeing that connection and just, I guess, that emotional maturity that's come from Gus and seeing that from him and seeing that connection with Peter, that he was able to like calm him down and, you know, speak to him, you know, and get through to him like no one else was going to be able to. But I wouldn't have been mad had Peter taken off that guy's leg. You know, I was
like, death roll. Yes.
Oh my gosh. That was so cool. I was like, oh, he's in a death roll. He's done for. Once you go in a death roll, it's bye-bye time.
I really did for a second think, I was like, are we about to watch this guy's leg get snapped off? Because I don't know if this show's ever gone there, but I'm down. Let's do it.
Well, and even though they didn't, it was still quite violent. Still quite violent. But, and I'm like, you know what? He could have probably, do you know how much jaw pressure a crocodile has? Mm-hmm. Like the capability? He could have snapped that bone right in half. No problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought, oh, he's in death row. He's done. But yeah, it was great. Well, I'll stop there because I want to hear what you think. And if you want to go into any of your point about the lab.
I'll like jump around a little bit too. Cause kind of reiterate maybe some of the other stuff if I got other little notes and then add some more. Peter, since you're talking about that, just funny. I was just like, oh, they found something in Fort Smith. All right. A modern descendant of ancient dinosaurs. That's right. A chicken. And another chickens that have been surviving here on their own and being eaten by something that's definitely more frightening. Yes. Peter.
Do you think Peter was raising the chickens and like that's how they're still chickens? Like he's raising the chickens and eating them? Or were they just kind of breeding on their own?
Yeah, I don't know. Would Peter be able to do that? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just like, how are those chickens still alive? What is Peter eating? Is he eating the chickens? I don't know.
Well, I think he's definitely eating the chickens. I think we saw a little hint of that at one point.
Oh, maybe I missed that.
Oof. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad
before we see Peter, like Addie like is like walking down a hall and then it like focuses on like feathers and bones and blood like in the corner of a room somewhere. And it was like, oh,
Ooh, but, okay. I'm glad I didn't see that. It was a little dark there, so I'm glad. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mystery solved.
Yeah, so he's eating them. But yeah, so then when we saw him, I was like, out pops Peter. Not Cottontail. Peter, Chompy Scale? Nah, it's not great, but I'll go with it. But yeah, the death roll. And then, yeah, he's been there all alone, aside from the chickens. But yeah, I think we answered our question from a few weeks back of creepiest hybrid. He kind of makes Bobby look like the cuddliest little baby in the whole world. So
stark contrast, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of work to feel the love for Peter a whole lot. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see where we get. Bobby grew on us, Peter. We got to give him a chance. We got to give him an opportunity, right? So yeah, you talked a lot about Gus's maturity, which I have stuff in here. But on the flip side of that, I think this also, and I mentioned this off the top, a return to just some like really lightheartedness, where this episode gave Gus some moments to just be a kid again. Like, you really saw, even as like serious this mission kind of was, we saw him be able to just like goof off a little bit and be a kid. And it starts even when they're driving there, and Hulk, as I find out this guy's name, thanks to the captions, I know that this last man, this main last man on the mission with them, is named Hulk, which is interesting. But yeah, where he's like, oh, well, they said you can talk, so why don't you talk? And he has that very, are we there yet? Which, he's doing his job as a child on a road trip very well.
Oh my gosh. That was perfect.
He is playing that role.
Perfect.
Even Addie is amused by that smartassery a little bit. I like the little smirk that Addie has after that as well. And then, yeah, just him being a kid. You get this montage. He's running and sliding up and down stairs, pushing the water fountain button over and over again, spinning around in circles in a chair. Just being able to goof around and play until Hulk like shuts it down because he hates it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it was a good contrast of, you know, this whole section of the episode where they're at this thing where it's just like, it's kind of this serious moment where it's like, oh, what do they expect of Gus? Is anything good going to come from this? And then in such a strange location, we get to see him let loose and just be a kid for a while. But then when things get serious again, he steps up and fits that mature role again. So I think that's just, it was great for that to like, we get the growth arc of Gus, but also got to see like kid Gus having a good time as well, which I haven't seen in a while. And I missed that. So
I know, nice. I know that was so great seeing him playing on the stairs like that and on the rail.
Mm-hmm. And then, see, just other stuff with Gus, I guess. You know, what kind of person carves their name is into their possessions? Like, shoddily carving it? Richard Fox, a.k.a. Pubba, does. Just so Gus can conveniently find the toolbox and the multi-tool and take it.
Well, but a quick note on that. To be fair, there was a place that my daughter worked during the summers when she was in college, and mm-hmm. she had to have a toolbox, too. And yeah. they had to have their names on them, and they would sometimes sketch into them
okay,
their that's name. Cool. Okay. So when I saw that, that did not look too odd to me because I have seen all that. Right,
yeah. Okay. So. I wouldn't. Yeah. So maybe it is like a thing for like people with that. So yeah, because it's just like when he carves his name, it is like there's no like label. No, like.
I think you had to, especially but, like, well, I yeah. know he was like a janitor, or was he maintenance, or was like a janitor? I don't remember when yeah, he worked there. I don't kind remember.
Of both, maybe. Just
maybe to, both. You know, but I feel like you always had to keep your stuff labeled, like that was like your tools and like,
yeah.
So in case someone tried to take him or something like that. But anyway, that was not uncommon for me.
Nice. Yeah, but then, yeah, Gus gets the multi-tool to take back, which could help with their escape there at the zoo, the other kids. So that's nice, because that button wasn't cutting it.
Yes.
And then, let's see, because I have more notes, but it's just kind of then, you know, the things that they're looking for and the things that they find. And I can kind of go into that, or I can kind of throw it back to you on, because I'm sure you have notes and stuff about that as well.
I have, yeah, I mean, I have, I think, a couple of different things about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can go next if you want, and we can
just kind of back converse and forth on the same point for a little bit. But
yeah.
It's a big point. It's a big part of the episode.
It is. Sure. There's a lot that happens. So, well, let's talk about, we got a little bit of discovery from this, Jillian. Her name's Jillian. Did I get
Jillian Washington?
Thank you. I thought I had her last name here and I lost it. But yeah, Jillian, we got a little snippet of her, and then we get to see more. And I'm really curious about who this person is. You know, I mean,
she's like the director and team leader of Project Midnight Sun. She's like Birdie's boss. But it seems like the point of the project was to eradicate disease in general and make humanity disease free. Mm-hmm. And somehow it looks like she managed to accomplish the exact opposite. So,
yeah. So I thought it was good to get her introduction a little bit, mm-hmm. and get her voice over. Getting to hear about, I guess, what they've been working on and why they've been working on it. And we also get a little glimpse of, you know, we saw Birdie in the Arctic. She's discovered this ship, and, you know, we were like, what the heck is she doing here? And what is this? And what's going on? And seeing the flowers and things like that. Well, now we're getting some information, and we learn that there was a scientist named James Thacker. He had a muscular degenerative disorder, made this journey to the Arctic in the early 1900s to, explore this village. Do people live in the Arctic? I mean, first of all, I mean, that's a side note, but...
Yeah, I guess because it's like Alaska, so... Well, I mean, there's like...
I guess Alaska's the Arctic. I don't know. I guess I think of like the North Pole is what I think
Right. Because I would say like, and I don't know, I could be off geographically if there's different, but it's like native tribes and villages, like the Inuit people and things like that, that have...
I guess I just...
That area, yeah.
I guess I just, like, I know Alaska is like cold and it's, I guess, technically, I don't know. I guess when I think of Arctic, I think of like North Pole, like extreme, like Arctic Circle. Like, do people really live there? Like, besides Santa? I don't know. but I don't know. Maybe I'm just having
the village
a
was, yes. The elves don't age. What's going on? No.
See? That's it. That's who she's. That's who they're looking for.
That's what they're looking for. Just yeah.
Ageless elves. I guess I just never thought of Alaska actually being in the Arctic for some reason. I don't know. Again, geographically, when it's that far north, all I know is it's cold as shit, and I want no part of it. That's all I know. But anyway, you know, he's off to explore this village where the villagers were rumored to be free of disease and live past 100, which sounds terrible to me, honestly. so they, end up at Fort Smith to try and investigate these villages, you know, that he was looking for, which she seems very interested in. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's no more than a lot of us do, right? She seems to take care of herself physically. You know, you see her exercising. She's out doing things, and she takes care of her skin, and she's, you know, doing all of these things. She seems to, you know, be invested in that for some reason. Maybe it's just for the research. I don't know. But then with that, then we get to be introduced again to Birdie and kind of see a side of her where they talk about, you know, traveling to the Arctic, you know, taking these ice core samples, finding these microbes. It sounds like they're, you know, what they wanted to do was modify these microbes to help the immune system, but something else happened instead, and they ended up with hybrids, which, you know, interesting to learn how they got there. And then we got to see and meet baby Gus. Wasn't that, wasn't he just the cutest? And I guess one thing that when, you know, getting to see Gus so carefree for just a few minutes in this episode, but man, he had some heavy moments in this episode, right? Yeah,
there's that for sure. Although the one moment that I'm thinking of the most, I don't know if I'd call as much heavy. It's just, I mean, it was definitely emotional. But yeah, where they find the videotape with the, you know, within the Midnight Sun stuff, and they're playing it to kind of look for, you know, clues and answers. And Addie's getting the good stuff. Of course, these revelations of the project's purpose and their findings, like you were talking about, which is big for him and what he's wanting to do. But then we see Gus on the other side of that. The only thing he's concerned about is just seeing this footage of his quote-unquote mom, Birdie. And it was just the way that, you know, because, like, Addie, like, pauses the video and was like, holy shit, oh my god, do you know what this means? And as he's, like, rattling on, you just see Gus reach over and just turn it back on. Doesn't say a word. He just turns it back on and continues watching. And, I mean, he's just standing there staring at, like, this video of her holding him as a baby. Oh, and it was just very emotionally touching. And then even, you know, in the video where, like, Birdie says, Gus is a miracle and he can help us understand so, so much. And he's just so drawn into this. And, like, you can really see the effect it has on him. And then when Addie's ready to go, Gus just asks, can we stay just a little bit longer and watch? Like, you can see how much this means to him.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, getting to see that, because he, if I'm remembering correctly from season one, didn't he just have, like, some really faded photograph of Birdie?
Yeah.
And that's all he had. He's like, this is my mom, you know, and that's all he had. And when you think, all it could make me think of is, like, how so many of us, like, take for granted the fact of all the pictures that we have with our family or our moms or our parents, right, or whomever it is that cared for us and raised us or were meaningful in our lives as kids, right? And, you know, we have pictures and videos and the technology that we have, right, with our phones, and you can just always get a picture, you can always get videos, and you can keep them forever stored in the cloud and things like that. And he didn't have any of that. And what he's seeing, you know, there in the lab is what he's seeing, like, for the first time. You know, he didn't have any pictures of, you know, which I know biologically Birdie was not his mom, but closest thing that he's had. And he's getting to see how she's, like, cuddling with him, you know, and he's like, he's got to be thinking, like, wow, like, look how, you know, she loves me. He's got to be, like, kind of feeling that love. And it just makes me feel so bad for him that he's missed out on that. I mean, I know he had Pubba and he kind of acted as, you know, kind of filled that role, you know, for Gus, you know, growing up, but how he just really missed that and what that must have meant to him getting to see Birdie, you know, cuddle with him and talk about how special he was. And, you know, in that moment,
to hear her voice for the first time.
Yes, that too. Good point. Yeah. I know the tears were just there for me anyway. I was thinking, oh, you poor sweet boy, you know, missed out on that love. And it was such a contrast to hear and to see, you know, the care that Birdie took with him and, you know, smiling at him and when he's in the incubator to take him out, and she's cuddling with him and talking about how special he is. And while Jillian was talking about him as, like, a specimen, you know, I was like, ugh, you know, that's so sciencey, you know, to not even thinking of him as, like, a living, breathing kind of, you know, person or boy. You know,
we got the reveal in the first season also, but again, just they reiterated it and said it again. I mean, Gus is a genetic, what is it? Oh God.
Yeah. What the hell?
Genetic unit series one or something like that.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
So it's,
So it was rough, but yeah, what an emotional moment. I know it was emotional for me, and just thinking of Gus's feelings and, you know, putting myself into his shoes and how special it was as he's just holding that little baby chick, you know. Oh, he's such a sweet kid. I can't.
Yeah.
Anything else that you wanted to say about that?
I'm sure I might have a couple other notes. See, we talked about most of it. So when they first got there, which was interesting because, you know, Addy brings him to Fort Smith. He's like, oh, let's see if it sparks these memories and if you can help me find anything. And mm-hmm. what do you remember? And it's just like, at first, Gus is a total letdown. You know, nope, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about this place. This is all like, sorry, kid. And you see Addy like struggle just a little bit with staying calm and like positive for a moment. He's like, ugh! And then there's a lot of writing on this, but you know, Gus isn't much help, but it's not his fault.
He's not really, under the influence of the flowers. Right. So he's like, I don't know.
It's a building. I don't know. Yeah. I've never seen smart lights before. This is new. I don't know anything here.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Such a joy.
Yeah. But, you know, they're wandering. I do like, you know, when we first get the little hints of Peter or whatever, you know, because Gus is, we're not alone. It's like, that's always such an ominous line, right? But, you know, because he's listening and you hit that little ear twitch. I was like, oh, I almost forgot about that. It's mm-hmm. so cute. But yeah, it's those deer-like senses of hearing and smell that's, you know, something we haven't really seen him use this season yet. Just because he's been locked up in that cage or talking to scientists and guards. Yeah. So here, like, we see that in play, that he's noticing there's something else going on. And let's see. Yeah, and then it comes at the time where Hulk is, like, over it and, like, okay, we're leaving. And then that's when Peter shows up. And then after this ordeal with Peter, that's where they wind up in the right place where they find the stuff they're looking for. It's like, oh, look, after all this wandering around the building that they did, you should have just checked the room with Project Midnight
Sun. I was going to say, there's a sign right there.
Oh, why didn't we think of that? Of course.
There's probably a big sign out in the hallway somewhere. Project Midnight Sun, that way, with an arrow.
Right. Yeah.
Kidding.
So that was kind of funny. But yeah, so it was just kind of, there's a lot of like before and after, not really before and after, but just kind of like, two sides of things throughout that whole, like, I didn't say scene, but it's multiple scenes, but like that section of the episode and all those parts is, yeah, we get like the difference of Gus being like a kid and really maturing and having to grow up. We see this just like desperation of like, oh, this is nothing versus now we have everything we might need. Like we might have found the best answers. And Gus kind of feeling alone to realizing that, like, maybe, you know, there was more of a love and connection to those things, and he maybe does have more of a family than he thinks he does. Just a lot of those little things.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That is nice.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I don't even know where we're at anymore, but, let's talk about, Jeppard and Amy.
Yeah. That's the last
main point
that I've got. So yeah.
Yeah. Let's jump in there. So what I really liked about this part was getting to see, or kind of expanding our world a little bit, you know, and getting to see what is going on out into the world, and kind of seeing how people are, I won't say really living, but surviving. I'm going to say surviving because I, you know, feel like no one's really living. They're just trying to survive, especially now that like this doomsday variant is out there now and really seems to be wiping people out. It was an interesting look into this town that they went to and kind of seeing the conditions that like sick people were being forced to live in.
Yeah. How he just like says it so matter of factly with the guy right there. It's like, what's that? And it's like, oh, he has the sick. So they've got him quarantined, but he'll live out his last days as they're walking right past him. Like, okay.
And it's like, yeah. like an animal in a cage or something, yeah. You know, and almost talking about him like he wasn't even there. It looked terrible. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't quarantine people that are sick. You know, you don't want to obviously spread it around in your town, but it just looked terrible. It looked like you were on display, you know? But
yeah, at least like have like a, you think like the days of like the plague and stuff in the back, you know,
mm-hmm.
older times, there's like a sick house that people went to. Like, yeah. It wasn't like, oh, look at this like clear bubble that we're putting people in on display in the middle of town. Yeah.
Right. And not even just, but like right there as you're getting off like the boat, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It was just like, oh, that just looks terrible. But it was an interesting look and kind of an expanding into the this world, you know, in this post-apocalyptic, you know, place after the crumbling, you know, and I really loved that interaction in the bar when they're in the cantina, when Jep hugged that lady mm-hmm. over the phone and he's like relating to her in such a personal way. Man, that got me. That was something.
It was great. 'Cause yeah, Ingrid is this woman that, she very much could have been a problem and an issue, but Jep mm-hmm. steps in with this level of understanding, compassion. And I was just like, I don't know if we've really seen that from him, at least to that level, but
yeah.
It was great to see. And maybe it's because of his like relationship with Gus that it's kind of rubbed off on him a little bit, that he's kind of softening up, you know, that like he's learning compassion and love a little bit more. He hasn't had those things in a while.
That's what I'm going to choose to believe.
Yeah.
is that it's because of his relationship with Gus that's kind of opened him up a little bit more, maybe yeah. like his. And I mean, I think it's his true self. I think that just, yeah. you know, because of his own loss that he suffered and the hardships of the world and the things that he's seen, probably even things he's had to do mm-hmm. in the last 10 years is really built this wall around him, and he's probably really pushed a lot of that, you know, under the surface. But I feel like that's who he really is, that Jep that we saw, you know, showing that compassion to that yeah. woman who had lost her wife. And what a sad story. I don't know yeah. if this woman really genuinely thought that her wife was going to still be able to reach out to her after all this time, or if she's suffering right. maybe some kind of like dementia or something. Like, does she even know that it's been like, you know, 9 years or?
Well, she says it's been 9 years. She knows. And it's,
yeah,
she kind of says like, don't look at me like I'm crazy. She's like, I know. I feel like I don't think there's anything crazy or, you know, dementia or anything like that. I think she's just love can kind of put you in a desperate place. And then,
yeah, that's true.
That's just where she's at, is it's like, I know it's been 9 years and I know there's absolutely no chance in hell, but for that tiny little possibility that something could happen, that she could call me, I made a promise and I'm here. It's this kind of devotion to that, which I kind of admire. Maybe don't yell at people about the phone all the time, but like,
right.
But I kind of, But you see, once Jep sees that, and like there's that understanding where he's like, I get it. There's somebody I love too, and I need to get back to them. That like that conversation is what gets them to use the phone, because there's this, you know, sameness there between them a little bit.
Yeah. It was really nice how he could really see her and understand, you know, where she's coming from. So that was a really nice moment. But, and along with kind of being able to connect with her on some level, him and Amy were able to connect a little too. And so we got a little bit of backstory on Amy and why she chose to cut herself off for so long and live behind the zoo. And honestly, I mean, as an introvert, I don't blame her.
You know? I know. It's like, what makes someone hide behind a concrete wall for 10 years? And she goes, human beings. And I was like, Amy, sometimes it do be like that. I get it.
I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't see the problem with this because same. I didn't see it. I'm like, yeah, I am Amy, I guess. So, hide behind walls. Yeah, people really suck sometimes. And I just want to hide behind walls too and stay away from everyone and keep everyone away from me sometimes. So that was legit. But I mean, joking aside, you know, her reason for that was really sad to learn that she lost a couple of her kids.
Yeah.
You know,
did you notice the importance of that story?
I don't guess I did. I felt like maybe there was something there.
Yeah. And aside from it's just, the fear of her own mistakes. But yeah. The fact that she points out, this last little outing she took with the kids, the two were taken, never seen again, and that they were sheep hybrid specific.
Yeah, when she said that, it felt like there was some weight to that, so help me out here.
I think it's particularly impactful to Jep, because if I remember right, in season one, his child that was born was a sheep hybrid. He only saw it that once, but I am pretty sure that's what it was.
Oh my goodness. See, this is what happens when I'm so glad you remember that. I didn't do a rewatch and I just do not remember all those details. Oh, wow.
So there's that kind of like when she says that and then it takes that little beat, like focus on his face and you see his eyes just change ever so slightly where it's like, that was important. Yeah. That
I need to go back and rewatch that and catch his reaction a little more. I was probably taking some notes and might have missed that exact reaction. Well, if that's true, then it's interesting how, you know, it kind of brings everything around, you know, and that their world is a little smaller maybe than what they thought.
Yeah. I mean, we forget that Wendy is Becky's little sister. Like, that was a reveal in season one that we haven't really thought about or talked about much. It was like, that there are those connections, which I haven't thought about that really till just now because you talked about that world smaller. I was like, oh, shit. It just realized, like, clicked in my brain. I was like, well, Becky's on her way to the zoo right now for Gus. What if she's going to run into Wendy? And oh, my God, now I'm so excited.
So exciting for so many things to happen and revelations and for reunions. I'm here for it. You know, I definitely want to hope I get to see a Gus and Becky reunion, a Becky and Wendy. I'm ready for everyone, you know, to kind of get back together. Wow. I can't hardly move on from that because I'm still kind of reeling from that. I'm so glad that you remembered that and pointed it out. That's definitely a poignant kind of moment there. But so I liked that they're kind of connecting there too. And it's good to see we've gotten a lot of moments of connection in this episode. And I liked that. So anything else that you want to say about that or add to it?
I'm sure I have a couple notes. Kind of my last point.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they head to Factory Town to find Jep's friends and they find them in a much less than alive state.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But Amy with the working phone has this kind of backup plan to call someone. I'm curious to know exactly how that goes. Because, it's these like delivery people, basically, is how Jep looks at it. These drop off people that she had worked with remotely. She'd only talked to them over the phone. She never met with them, but they had helped a lot with spreading the word about the preserve and setting up supplies there and things like that. So they don't really sound like fighters necessarily, though I'd think you'd have to have some level of toughness to be doing what they do in this world. So it's what she's got. And so I like their kind of the end, near the end of the episode. Yeah, I think it's right at the end where the phone in the cantina rings. It's just like, poor Ingrid. It was not your beloved Vanessa, unfortunately. However,
yeah,
the help that Amy called for has responded, so see more of that. But then, let's see. Factory Town's a free city, off limits to Abbott. I thought that was an interesting little note. Even though they say that, but that means Abbott doesn't control it, but he still is going to happily stroll on up and create some problems, right? Like, I guess he can be there, but like...
He's a piece of shit.
It's its own... He can't control things there. He doesn't have any jurisdiction over it, which is interesting that there's like still some kind of like free civilizations versus like what's under the last man's rule. I'm not sure how it all works.
But I know. It's so interesting. And I'm just... I wish I understood a little bit more, or they explained it just a little bit more, because I'm like, well, why doesn't he, and why are there free cities, and what is his jurisdiction, and how are there just not enough people? Because Jep keeps talking about, like, you know, his army and his all of his, you know, we need people, and but how many people does he have if he can't control all of the cities or whatever that are out there? So I don't know. I really wish I understood it just a little bit more, this whatever remaining structure is left.
Yeah. And last note I have is that was a lot of moonshine. I guess Jep is just planning on getting wasted for lunch, because God.
He's a big guy, though. He's a big guy. I don't know.
Just, like, she sets this like glass of moonshine down. I'm like, I think I've had moonshine. Usually pretty good on like two or three sips, and you're like, okay, I'm good for a while. Or, you know, you mix it with something sometimes, a little bit, in like a small, but he's just got like a full glass. He's like, yep, let's just
like it's water. You know, that stuff has got to be strong. Like, typically a shot glass size could be sipping on for quite some time.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, it's been a minute. It's not my choice always, but you know, there's certainly been some over the years. That was intense. Goes down like fire.
Mm. Yes, that's all that I...
Okay. I think the only other thing to note was just, I don't know this, when you mentioned Abbott, like, just... how casual he was as he's singing that song and they execute that man that they quote cured.
Mm-hmm.
That was just chilling. I don't know. That was just really chilling to me.
It's just like, we'll just dispose of this guy while I'm jamming out my Three Dog Night. It's fine.
Yeah. You know, and
which, it's interesting for sure. I've got thoughts on that. That's like extra notes.
Well, that's kind of about where I'm at now. That's all of my main points. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was just one of my notes, was just like, you know, how callous he was, and, you know, his attempts at trying to recruit. And do you think he's also trying to, like, spread the word to like this cure, and like to the three that he was trying to?
Yeah. So I think he's kind of, it's a two-pronged attack. I think he's got this snake oil salesman routine that he's doing,
mm-hmm.
rousing up the locals with anti-hybrid hate speech, basically. And he's trying to recruit more people to the last man. He's trying to build his army, build his group. But at the same time, you know, and he's presenting this cure, in quotes, which we give to, he gives to that quarantined man that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we know it's the temporary solution that Addy had developed, so it's only going to last so long. But that's enough to support his cause in this moment, which is really, I think, just to get people talking about him and his cure, because he's really after the attention and recognition of the three, whoever they are and whatever power they have.
Mm-hmm.
He was told that, we don't have time for you. So he's like, they can't ignore me now. I'm going around spreading a cure. I'm going around, you know, people, every small free city and town across the country is going to be, you know, cheering my name. So they'll have no chance, you know, no choice but to accept me or pay attention to me. I think that's really what he's trying to do.
Ugh.
And then he's really hedging his bets on Addy finding a permanent cure.
Yeah. Poor Addy working himself to death there.
He's really, betting on it hard, really, not just hedging on, but like, putting everything on it, really. He's like, no, we're going to. Oh, I've got this guy on it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah. It's in the bag.
Yeah. Which, yeah, but he knows it's a temporary fix that he gave to this guy. So we can't let that detail get in the way. So that's why he has him brought along and executed. Which I'm like, is nobody from Factory Town going to wonder where that guy went? It's just like, hey, what? Wasn't Dave cured? Whatever happened to him? Where the hell did he go?
Right. Just off living his happy life now that he's cured. Yeah. No one thinks to question why didn't they just let him go? You know, I guess they're too caught up in the hype of the cure to really question it. But yeah. All right. Any notes?
Let's see, just a few little things. Douchebag McGee dropping the bomb on the kids that Roy was sent to the butcher sing.
Jeez.
Which, the most badass that guy's ever sounded, even if it's horrible to be called the butcher. I think that's the most badass sing has ever sounded.
Mm-hmm.
So then Wendy has to come clean to them about the truth of their friend. So, of course, when Gus returns, they are rightfully pretty pissed off at him. We don't really see much past that, so it's curious to see if, you know, Gus has kind of found that leadership position we've talked about, but now where does that stand? Because now he's been caught in a lie. He, as much as it was for good intentions, he did manipulate the emotions of these kids, so will they listen to him as easy now? Let's see. A little bit of Midnight Sun, I think we talked about most of that. Other than, I think I like that Addie now has this plan of using the eggs and the chickens. He's taken those and brought them to the zoo.
Yes.
So these eggs and these chickens have the hybrid modifications, so he can use those to develop medicine and a possible cure, which is much better than using the hybrids. That's a secret sauce we can get behind, right? Use the eggs, not the children.
Right. Yes, please.
And then he kind of says, yeah, his destiny and his purpose, which you mentioned earlier, is he plans to continue Birdie's work, maybe accomplishing something even bigger than just a cure for the sick, to where maybe he can find out where Project Midnight Sun went wrong and eradicate all disease for all humankind. He's kind of got these, not really delusions of grandeur, but like, he's like, maybe this is my purpose. It's not only can I stop the sick and find a cure, but then maybe even bring humanity past where we were before it. And yeah, that, what happened to you, doctor? Where did you go? And I was like, Alaska. But hopefully she'll be back around now that she knows that Gus is alive and out there and looking for her. So yeah.
Oh, that would be such an amazing reunion.
Oh, I'm just going to say now, if we get, even if it's not this season, even if it's in 3.
Yeah.
We get that moment between Birdie and Gus in person. I'm just going to be crying and crying.
Oh my gosh.
I know it. I'm just ready for, I'm accepting it. So.
I'm in acceptance. I'll be a complete wreck. I don't think it'll happen this season by any means. Probably the next season, which we know will be its final season. So if we're going to get one, and I hope that we do in some way, that we do get that. Cause yeah, I'll be a mess for sure. I like all those things that you said. And
then I just had one like little jokey note. So I was like, you know, Amy and Jep spent so much time trying to avoid Abbott's men just for his Dr. Robotnik looking ass to show up in person right there where they are. Right. It's like, we got to stay away from the men. We got to stay away from the men. And oh, he's here himself. Great. We picked the one place that he was going to show up at next.
Yeah. Talk about the worst timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, the one place that you could be, you know, here they show up. That was rotten timing. Yeah, some interesting times. I really do hope we kind of find out. I mean, I think sometimes it's not always important to know the origin of, like, where a sickness comes from. But I am really curious to know if, like, did this happen at the same time, right? Like, did the, you know, Gus being this first hybrid and whatever experiments that they were doing, you know, with this in, you know, search of like being able to like live longer and kind of defeat aging and build up the immune system did something like totally backfire, and it went just like in complete reverse, you know, and instead of preserving life, they destroyed it, you know, and in some way. So I do hope that we kind of get the answer to that. I don't think, of course, we're going to get it this season, but I hope that we get there eventually. So I'm curious, you know, to get some more information about, you know, as Addy has, like you said, accumulated all of this stuff from Fort Smith and taken it with him back to the zoo. And once he starts digging into this research, curious to see what we're going to find out and where this came from. All right. I like it. We've covered all of mine. I only had a few and we've already covered them. So if you don't have anything else to say about the episode, let's go ahead and jump into listener feedback. You can take that first one.
All right. First one from Maureen Favum, who says, Peter is so creepy that Bobby seems so normal. Do you think they named Peter after a fictional boy who won't grow up and doesn't smile at crocodiles? Poor Gus had a great day and a bad day on the same day. How amazing for him to hear his mom say so many great things about him. Instant connection.
Mm-hmm.
Therapist Amy really drives Jep crazy. Any episode with Three Dog Night is already great, but add Shambhala and it's next level. Kudos to music in this episode. Yeah, I'm going to interject there a little bit. There's a Wolf Alice song in this episode as well, while Jordan and Becky are down by the river, and I love that too. I was like, I didn't do a music section against
you.
This hasn't been as strong as the first season was on that stuff, but this episode was really great on music for sure.
I agree.
Yeah. She goes on to say, Ronnie owns Johnny. I'm not sure Addy can come back from his obsession. He's now on a mission. And how great that Gus found Pubba's stuff. Glad they took us to other locations, but I'm ready for the kids to escape. Getting worried everyone is heading towards the zoo, which means more zoo.
Yeah, hopefully we're out of there soon.
Right.
I agree. Don Lisbeth says, I really enjoyed this episode. Things are moving right along. Not always in good ways, though. I loved Gus sliding the banisters in the lab. That kid is so good at showing excitement doing fun stuff. Makes me want to join in. I'm worried about Bear joining the Last Men. We all know she is just doing it to get inside and spy, but it could end badly. With this show, I'm never sure. It was great that Gus found Pubba's things and brought back the Leatherman without being found out, and that he got to see Birdie and himself as a baby. It's good to know that Ronnie is aware of the hybrids being actually part human and not just animals now, and I hope that she will convince Addy to change course. Looking forward to the next episode to see what happens in the kennels now that the kids know about Roy. I hope they're able to understand why Gus lied. And of course, I'm looking forward to the podcast. Thanks.
Next one comes from Shay Wide. Yes. Let me know if I'm wrong and we'll get it. Says, thank you for covering this great show. I just recently started watching at the request of my daughter, Catherine, who is obsessed. This show is both sweet and sad at the same time. It's a real emotional roller coaster. I'm working through season 2 and keep up with your podcast schedule. As for episode 3, I'm really enjoying the Jeopardy era. I still have no sympathy for Ronnie and Addy. Catherine disagrees. And I'm worried that the kids are going to ostracize Gus. Finally, Bear joining the Last Men could be darkly funny if Jep finds out. Can't wait to see what happens next.
Oh, thanks, Shay. And happy you're with us. Or you and your daughter both are with us.
Yeah.
Morgan Allen says, I think we found the creepiest kid. With a little alligator emoji. I get it.
All right. We have an email from Dylan. It says, hey there, Dylan here. Nothing on the episodes other than being well adapted from the comics. I just wanted to say that I live in a city called Windsor in Essex County, not far from where the creator Jeff Lemire is from, about 40 minutes from me. He has frequented my local comic shop for signings well before the show was ever tapped to be a thing. I once had every issue of the comic, but had to sell them all back to my comic guy before it got picked up for the series due to hard financial times, yada, yada, yada. He said that. I didn't yada, yada, yada him.
We don't yada, yada over our listeners. Yeah.
Nonetheless, it's safe to say that the show is close to my heart. The creator also has a comic called Essex County and just came out with a new one called Fish Flies that is based in the town of Lakeshore, where I currently do factory. I'm typing this on my job. It's great. Don't worry, it's safe to be on my phone. The dumbest hybrid can do my job. Keep up the stellar stuff, Dylan. That's awesome.
That is awesome, Dylan. Thanks so much for writing in and sharing that. All right, next email we have is from our good friend Daphne. She says, "Hi, Rima and Paik. Abbott is getting closer to being one of the worst villains ever. He's maniacal and calculating and just the worst. I had a feeling once they arrived at Fort Smith, we might just be meeting a new hybrid. Welcome, Peter. I know he is more on the Bobby end of the hybrid spectrum, but I hope folks aren't creeped out. I wish he had gotten away. I'm glad Gus threatened Addy that if he hurts Peter, he's done helping. I love that on the flip side, Ronnie is trying to help the hybrids too. Gus is doing everything he can to protect his friends, but I'd hoped they weren't too pissed about his Roy lie. He was only trying to keep hope alive. I adore Becky's commitment to reuniting with Gus, going so far as to enlist with the last men in order to get into the preserve. I hope we don't have to wait too much longer. And who are Amy's friends? I hope they can help Daphne."
Awesome.
I know. I'm dying to find out who these friends are.
Yeah. Good stuff. It's only three episodes in, but I'm really enjoying this season so far. It's as much as I think the sentiment a lot of people are saying is like, okay, but we can get out of the zoo pretty soon, and I would enjoy that. But
yeah.
But also, I think the pacing has been great.
I think so. I know we're still at the zoo, but we're only in the third episode, and we have gotten to see our other characters, other places, other locations, kind of expanding a little bit. So we're not spending all of our time at the zoo, but I totally get it. I hope they get out of there soon. Plus, I just, again, hate seeing them all locked up. It's terrible. All right. Thank you all so much. We did get a couple of voicemails. Now they're from the same person. Steve unfortunately didn't get his episode 2 feedback in time. So we have some feedback for episode 2. And then he also has one for episode 3. So let's see what our friend Steve thinks about episode 2.
Hello, Strange Indeed. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Sweet Tooth, Season 2, Episode 2. I'm confused. I thought we saw Big Man when his wife gave birth. Did they get separated at that? I don't remember. Gosh, I binged Season 1 like a month ago. I don't remember. What happened with his wife and their child? You left my jacket there. You're welcome for saving your life. Oh, so that was the message they heard. Now we're going to get to see how Dog got into the food pinch. What? Drop? Yeah. Ooh, so that was a close one. Jeffers comes in for the rescue of Amy. Okay, so now we know how Dog got in with the food. It's just Jeffers, just last-ditch effort to let them know they were there. Well, that's right. You got to get Bobby's collar off. Gosh, why am I all choked up about these kids? Oh, and they're going to go back to where Gus grew up. Oh, into the woods. I don't really have a comment on the doctor and his wife's interaction because I don't know what's going to happen with her. It really looks like she's going to find out what the cost is for her cure and might do something rash. And now Johnny is with the kids, and this dude is just more tense and creepy every time. Oh, this is what you guys talked about the last episode. He's going to try to induce the whatever hallucinogenic state that Gus had with the flowers here. So where exactly does Jeppers think he's going to find this muscle that's going to help him out? So Johnny is delivering the food and he says, "I know you're not contagious." Oh, he's trying to find Birdie. That's who Dr. Singh is trying to find. Your marbles. I love it. And now we're back to Bear, to Becky. What was the lettering on her shoes? I couldn't read it. Pinochle is pure boredom. I remember my parents used to play Pinochle. I can't remember who they played with. Was it my grandparents and my parents? Anyway, they played Pinochle. I never understood it. What did they think they were going to do? Be able to just yank it off his head? It's a collar. It's not going to... What was the thing that Gus just picked up off the floor? I couldn't tell what it was. Well, don't lose hope, Gus and all the other hybrids. You know, they're going to come back for you. All right, hopefully I got this in on time. I don't know.
That's okay. We play it anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Great journey on season or episode two. All right. Let's see what Steve thought about this episode, episode three.
Hello, Paikin Rima. This is Steve, and this is for Sweet Tooth, Season 2, Episode 3, Chicken or Egg, and hopefully I'll get this one in on time. Oh, so is this that other scientist, right? This isn't Birdie, right? There it is. The narrator just said the title of the episode, Mic Drop. I don't think he actually gets to leave. They kind of come and take him away, kid. Would definitely be a terrible choice to make to save the person you love by killing these hybrids. Ugh. So cool that here in season two, we're learning so much more about the world. Here's this free city that Abbott supposedly can't get to. I wonder if that's true, though. Oh, so much for that plan. The Hickeys and the Garcias are no longer with us. Uh-oh. It's a good thing you didn't tell him that you're the leader of the animal army here, Bear. Oh, there is some gray area in The Last Man. Oh, I see. He's taking Gus with him to Fort Smith. This poor bartender, pretty sure your wife is not calling you back. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but I'm pretty sure that's... Oh, but the big man hug. Wow, a working payphone, kids, with a turn dial dial. What do we used to call it? Rotary? Rotary. A chicken? Really? Oh, Johnny, bring in Mrs. Singh to see the hybrids. Hey, that was a funny sequence. And then the guy, the subtitles, identified this guard as Hulk. I can't read what's on the side of that toolbox that reminded him of Pubba. But man, I remember those old school leather, man. I used to carry one when I was in the military all the time. Dang, is that an alligator or a crocodile? Oh, that is so creepy. Peter. Oh, and there it is, written on the door. Okay, so we do see that the Last Men do have a reach here at this town. Oh, I don't think this cure is going to last very long, though. Uh-oh, the guard just told him that the chameleon didn't escape. Aw. Oh, it's baby Gus. Aw. Oh, this guy is just evil, General Abbott. There may be some gray area in the Last Men, but not in General Abbott. See you later.
Really good.
That was really good. Steve is all of us in those reactions sometimes. Yeah. That's really good. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for getting your feedback in. We always enjoy hearing from you and all of our listeners who take the time. Got a couple new names that have popped up this season, so that's been awesome. So keep it coming, y'all. We have many more episodes to go. We want to keep hearing from you. All right. So next for us, we are going to be covering season 2, episode 4 of Sweet Tooth, titled Bad Men.
Does not seem promising.
Does not. Not seeing a whole lot of love and light in that title. But so yeah, hopefully we'll get to watch that soon after wrap this episode and find out what the heck happens next.
Plan. Jump in and watch.
always.
Yeah. Again, thanks for everybody who wrote in, called in. Those new names is awesome. And if you'd like to write in or give us feedback of any kind and join the conversation here, you can always find all the contact information you need over podcast.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows like Pig and Daphne at Run for Your Lives.
Which we are back this week.
Yay!
Our new season officially starts on Friday, so very soon. And we are coming back the first episode of the season. Always a favorite of ours. We always have to start with a big favorite. So this season, we're starting with Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead, because it's just amazing. Such a good one.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely check that out if you're interested in, if you're listening to this, like, right here, like, Wednesday night, Thursday morning when this drops, and you still have time to send in a little feedback.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone should drop their feedback and listen to the episode, and listen to all y'all's great content. Y'all cover some really great classics, but also some fun, obscure things as mm-hmm. well. you know, y'all have covered some things that I'm like, where the hell did you even hear about that movie? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So I admire how you guys seem to find these things and then cover them. So that's awesome.
Yeah. We have fun for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. And lots of other good stuff going on at Podcast. Of course, Yellow Jackets still running strong from season two, going strong. The Marvelous Miss Maisel final season podcast is going on. Yeah, those are kind of the main ones. I'm sure there are little other things popping up here or there. But yeah, to keep up to date with all of that, again, podcastica.com, you can see all the shows that are going on, and you can follow, subscribe, rate, review all the ones that you find that you enjoy. That always helps us out.
Yeah, go and show everyone some love.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
And I'm Pei.
And Dylan from Essex County is strange indeed.